So the readings, the lectionary readings for today, I think, are great. In the first reading from Exodus, we have Moses and God up on the mountain. Now realize that the first and second commandments have been around since the book of Genesis. So when God first spoke to Jacob, saying idols were sinful and only the true God was to be worshipped, so now we fast forward to this meeting with God and Moses. And it's a couple of hundred years later. And so we're going to call this an executive session with God and Moses to codify or to formally write the Ten Commandments. Now, Moses has many amazing talents. If he lived today, he would have made a great defense attorney. Here is the scene. Moses has gone up on the mountain to receive the formal laws God has for his people. The peoples waiting below get restless. This meeting has gone on way too long. This meeting has gone on 40 days. And they are afraid. What's happened to Moses? How are we going to pray? Who are we going to pray to? They decide to take matters into their own hands. They go to Aaron, who just happens to be Moses' brother, and they get him to make a god. You remember the golden calf. Now, this violates the first and second commandments, the one that binds them to God in a relationship of loyalty. And also, in their restlessness down below, they are totally blaming Moses for bringing them out of Egypt into this wilderness, surely to die. Now, God, up on the mountain, is watching this all unfold, and he becomes very angry. So God tells Moses, "Go down there. Your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, are acting badly." Moses thinks, "Whoa, wait a minute. There seems to be some confusion here. It was you, God, who instructed me, Moses, to lead your people out of bondage into the promised land. But now you are blaming me for their failure? And now you are saying to me, I, God, will consume this straying people with fire. But I will do good things for you, Moses, because you have been so loyal." This is when Moses, the defense attorney, starts to work. Now, you thought David going up against Goliath was small against large? How about going up against God Almighty? Now, Moses remains calm. Moses is undaunted by the Lord's wrath. He reminds God of what the Egyptians will say. They will say that the Lord's intentions were evil from the start. It was with evil intent that God brought them out of that fine land to slay them in the mountains, to consume from them from the face of the earth. And the Egyptians would misunderstand his actions and accuse God of deceiving the people. He lets God conjure this for just a couple minutes. And in a more prayerful tone, he says, "Lord God, turn your wrath and repent of this evil against your people." And also, while we're having this little chat, do you remember the promise you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants? That you would multiply their descendants and you promised these people safe passage to a new home. So in summation, or in my prayer to you, Lord, I would just like to say, these folks are lost and need to be forgiven and guided. Well, lo and behold, the Lord God did hear the prayer of Moses and did repent of the evil that he had thought to bring to his people. Moses won his case. Prayer changes everything. Now, in the psalm today, we heard of repentance from the lips of the psalmist as he prays to the Lord for forgiveness and restoration. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offenses. Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." These are the words from one who knows a loving and forgiving God. Now, the second reading from 1 Timothy, St. Paul confirms God's undying devotion in reclaiming us as he writes to Timothy. "I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy, for Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners." Now remember, St. Paul back in the day held the coats of those who stoned St. Stephen to death. So Paul knows the loving embrace of the Lord's forgiveness and mercy. He was lost, but definitely found. Now, both stories in the third reading from Luke tell us that God will never give up on us. And when we turn our lives over to him, there is rejoicing in heaven. There is nothing we can do to detour God from loving us. Like the shepherd leaving the 99 sheep behind and the woman diligently searching the house for her lost coin, so God will not give up on us. There are times when we all feel like lost sheep because of our inner feelings and desires, or when we have not acted according to our own personal standards. Jesus knows this will happen to each and every one of us. And when it does, he reaches out in love and compassion to guide and direct us back to the fold. God forgave his people in the wilderness, and through God's Son, Jesus, there is much rejoicing when a single lost soul is found and either finds or is restored to the flock. Thank God for Moses and his counsel to the Almighty, and also for Jesus and his wonderful compassion and insight into the human soul. He has certainly blessed, guided, and sustained all of us straying sheep of his flock. Please pray with me. May we accept, O Lord God, your love and forgiveness and share it with others. May we keep seeking out those who are still lost. May we see value and worth in others, all others, as you, dear God, see it in each of us. When we do so, there is rejoicing in heaven. Amen.